Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay! My love, I'm so excited. This is so beautiful. I really am honored to be sharing on this program. And really what this is about, each month, we include a little bit of meditations, discussion, education, and awareness on these facets of our sexuality and consciousness that many of us just don't get a chance to openly explore. It's often about really slowing way down and letting ourselves connect with and honor these facets of who we are, these pieces of our sexuality or the sense of something around our identity that, you know, maybe we've hidden them or squashed them away or shoved them under the rug. You know, these facets of ourselves are really important to be seen. So this journey, as we explore on this program, sometimes I'll include stories of my own path and ways to experience your fullest pleasure and bliss, and also notice when you're sabotaging yourself and your own ability to be present and feel pleasure. And I speak that from a place of my own experience of working with thousands of hours of journey with clients. There's a lot of richness in terms of what's it like to be on this planet and to learn to relate with ourselves in a new way. And notice when we are, like I said, sabotaging ourselves. So we're going to explore a little bit of that actually in today's topic. We'll come back in a moment. I just want to take a moment first, as we do each time. We're going to settle in and kind of get in our bodies on this beautiful journey. That is, to me, what this is about, deeply listening to your body as a path of connection and of being present of this journey of sacred sexuality. So let's begin with a settling in. And whether you're joining us live today or in the archive, yourself find your seat or your body connected with the earth, whether you're standing or lying down. Feel the way that you're connecting with that ground. Invite an exhale with some sound. Let yourself vibrate. Notice if there's places in your body that are resisting that downflow, resisting the flow of gravity, resisting the nature of sound. For whatever reason, for fears, for nervousness, worries of what someone might think, notice, without forcing, just witness. And a breath deep into the belly to begin to bring awareness to your pelvis, the lower body, and maybe your hands even coming to the lower belly in a call to the earth of, Beloved, Lover Earth, Mother Earth, help me connect my body to you. Help me to feel, help me to plug in and be here now. And allowing your root gates to soften, to open, to feel your connection with this beautiful planet. As you also feel your connection, as you drop your awareness down, then also feeling the sort of return, the rising up of, yes, as you then notice the above, the beyond, the mystery, the divine, spirit, universe, and feel your connection up through the crown, up into the realms of the other, maybe even bringing your hands up above your body, and reaching to receive. And I like to invite beloved, sacred, masculine, divine creator, help us to feel and receive your love, to trust your love. And I relate to the above as what I'll call divine, sacred, masculine, to connect and relate with divine, sacred, feminine from the earth below. And yet, those words are not gender. So releasing the stories that we write about gender into a place of simply honoring the complementary energies in our bodies, of our bodies. And let them meet and dance and be. And with a breath of gratitude for yourself, for taking time for you, for exploring perhaps something new today, perhaps something edgy, exploring as we meet our topic here in a moment, letting yourself know and be simply here. And with that breath of gratitude, gently feeling the space, opening your eyes, and once again relating with the world around you in the more visual audio way. So thank you once again for joining us today, as we're today now exploring something that it's really interesting to me how these topics come through. Sometimes they will be like really clear, like, yep, this has been the alive theme. I've been rolling with this for a while. We're going to expand on it today. Great. And more often, actually, I'll get to the morning of and be like, what am I going to talk about? And so I want to speak that because there's a vulnerability in sharing that, right? Like that literally my own nervousness of what's this going to be? What am I sharing? How is it coming through? That sometimes that isn't as obvious as it may seem, certainly as I thought about it ahead of time, and that there's nervousness and sometimes anxiety and even fears. And this is the very topic for us today. Nervousness, shame, and fear. How do we meet these on our journey on this planet, specifically in our journey of sacred sexuality? When they show up, and they do, I will almost guarantee they will, in some shape or form, in some ways, many times, often, in each of our journey on this planet. And like to me, what that means is not that we're ignoring them, or that we say, well, no, I'm far too enlightened of a being to be dealing with nervousness. You know, I should be just totally okay with this sex stuff. And instead of that, what's it like to go, no, you know what? I'm a human being. I'm feeling a little nervous right now, or a little fear coming in. And letting ourselves meet what that means. And so this is the nature of what we're going to talk about today. Nervousness, shame, and fear. What's it like to meet them on our journey of sacred sexuality? And I'll be sharing some stories and also some ways to move through that, to experience and not just shove them away or hide them, or a beautiful, or what I'll say in my own path, a modality on how I tackle them. That word tackle will be a hint, but that I would sort of bowl my way through them. Like, I'm not nervous. I'm good. This is cool. You know, and just sort of like brute force our way into and kind of bowl our way past the sensations associated with these themes. And what I want to invite is we don't have to bowl past them. We don't have to take drugs and alcohol to numb ourselves to the experience of it and just sort of mindlessly explore something that maybe doesn't feel good, but we didn't know because we weren't in our bodies to check in and find out. Instead, what's it like to slow down, take a breath, and meet the experience, meet the sensations in our body? And this is what I want to get into exploring a little bit about. And the reason this came in as really alive was not only me, and certainly my own body was a part of this, but I started, you know, as I was checking in with Spirit, okay, Spirit, please support me. Like, what's this supposed to be about? You know, as I'm going to bed last night, holding space for for dream power, for messages, for guidance. And part of what happens as I do that is, as I open up some space, is spirit does send some messages around, like, okay, here's where we're going. And the more I trust that, the more those messages open up. And it's really been really an amazing journey in my own path of spiritual awakening, which started about almost 20 years ago now, to really wake up to see that, wow, things are not like I thought they were, you know, and to start to notice and connect with the guidance from the universe and from spirit in whatever way that is for each of us, it's different. And so as I was asking for that and getting some guidance and then checking in this morning with a few things, messages and such that I needed to catch up on, the messages started to become clear. And this nature of nervousness and fear and what ifs and what do people think or what will people think, or I can't possibly do that because I'll lose my privacy, or I couldn't possibly come and explore this exploration at a party that is going to be sexually charged because, oh, it's going to be one big orgy and that's too much for me. And these fear questions that have been really alive. So let's start with, what does that look like? And some of the examples that have shown up in my world with relating with some beautiful beings over the past several days and many years, is that very thing. So I was sharing at a beautiful event this weekend that involved a really sexually open environment and sort of a kink fetish scene. And a lot of people that I had put the word out to, many came and for the first time had ever come to an event like this. And they were like, I felt nervous, but, you know, it was this time. And so they'd stepped out into something that they were nervous about. And the threads that I saw and the threads that I offer, and even as I shared a workshop in the space, was, you know, one step at a time. We don't have to bite off everything all at once and expect for that to be okay for our bodies. But what's it like to take a breath and meet the experience that we're meeting and make conscious choices? So that was one example, and we'll come back to some others. And in that, one of the things that I often share about and in my workshop I did and also in my work, that it's about, let's take one step at a time. So one of the tenets of sacred sexuality and Tantra to me is really about slowing way down. Slowing way down with love and respect. And that when I say that, it's not just about love and respect for the people around me, although that's part of it. It's also love and respect for myself. And what I've seen over and over again is that's actually the harder part. Many of us, you know, have no problem holding space of like respecting somebody else's needs or wants. Where we have a hard time is respecting our own and really listening, not just to what our head has to say about something, but really listening to the body. What is my body having to say about this experience right now in this moment? Not what I think my body should be saying about this experience, not what I want it to be saying, not what I think it has in the past or what I wish it would in the future. What is my body saying in the moment right now? And that, as simple as straightforward as it may sound in words, is incredibly, I have found, complex and difficult to meet when we put it into practice. But once we do, magical things open up. And as we do, more ease comes in the way that that is possible. So what I'm saying is we're listening to our body in each moment. What does our body have to say about something? And I'm noticing at the moment even my own belly is feeling a little tight and tense below the navel and at the solar plexus, this little place that feels a little hollow. And I'm also noticing the way my sit bones are engaged with the earth. I feel a pressure that's a little heavier of pressure on the right side. I feel a little pressure under my left lower leg. I feel a different sensation where my right knee is resting against a different surface. There's a smooth hardwood surface as opposed to my left knee, which is resting on cloth. And what, like, wow, okay, so that's what my body sensations are in the moment. And as I can notice them and just name them, sometimes the very noticing and naming them and meeting them will shift them right there. I've noticed my belly has gotten softer. There's a little more ease across my solar plexus. That's the hollow space has filled in a bit, and there's a spreading sensation across the front. And so this, by speaking it and plugging in and letting myself truly feel, I have in fact shifted and changed the very nature of what I'm noticing in the moment. Now, the other thing that that can happen is, oh, I'm zooming around and I'm feeling this, but I'm not really listening to feeling it. And I'm just what I call when my rational brain comes in and goes, oh, yeah, whatever. I don't care that we're feeling that because everything's fine. I mean, there's nobody here in the room. I mean, and so no one's going to hurt you. There's no reason you should be feeling nervous or anxious. I mean, you're fine. You got this. Blah, 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 blah. You name it. The little sensor that sits on our shoulder will have a whole lot to say, often with the word should. That's a good clue. If you're getting a lot of shoulds in there, like, you know, you really should be doing this or you really shouldn't be doing this. Those are often our sensor that's coming in and trying to be heard over everything else. And I want to invite, like, okay, when we notice that, we go, okay, I hear you. And just let that voice, you know, set aside for a moment and go underneath it further and really feel what is the body having to communicate in this moment. And the reason I'm stressing this so much is because this topic that we're going to weave back and forth today of what is it like to meet nervousness, shame, and fear, the very nature of being in our body and meeting what our body needs and wants and honoring that is what lets us shift, transmute, and clear those types of fears and nervousness. It's the very thing that helps us through it. So we're not ignoring it anymore. We're meeting it. What's the sensation of it? How can I meet the needs of that sensation instead of writing the story about what that body message we thought was having to say? And the writing of the story happens so fast, we don't even realize we wrote the story. And this is because of the beauty. So there's the paradox here. This is because of the beauty of our human brains. I mean, human beings are pretty amazing. As I often say, we are infinite beings in a finite form. And what a gift it is to have both of that, to be infinite beings and to access these realms of the other and the potential associated with that, and to be in a physical form, to be in a human container. What a gift. We get to work with our energy in our bodies and meet it and learn from it. And often we don't look at our human bodies as a gift. There's a lot of self-loathing and things that show up where we're not really loving who the physical form that we're in. And that's another piece to the topic, is how can we relate to our bodies differently? And I invite that to begin in this moment and to not force. So, like, noticing our bodies and starting to really relate to its message instead of only writing the story. So back to what I mean. So humans, we have these different, some neuroscientists you'll see will describe the areas of the brain, to simplify it a little bit, in ways that are kind of take it into chunks. So we have the deep place of the brain, the brainstem, which is the area of the most sort of called kind of the reptilian brain, like this oldest, evolutionarily developed, very instinctual, very much about what needs to happen without thinking about it. Just basic survival needs, basic sex needs, things like that are often originating right in this deep area of the brain. And then there's another layer also in the deep center of the brain, but is sort of above or around this area of the brainstem that's called the more of the mammalian brain. And this whole, and that's more of an emotional center. We're now getting also into areas of the realm of emotional response, of autonomic function, with, you know, with this kind of a higher level on it. Then the third piece is the cortex that gets formed, and that's sort of the frontal covering on top, so to speak, that, and I'm way oversimplifying all this, but it helps me to look at it that way. So this is how I've come to know it. In this frontal neocortex, or this area at the outer surface of the brain, this is our human brain. This is the place where our rational functioning has come in. Things like, oh yeah, I can plan and work with this, right? I'm no longer working from animalistic instincts, but I can rationally plan that I'm going to get up this morning, get ready, move through my day, go to work or school, whatever it is, that all of that is sort of functioning from this rational brain. And that's important. That's a part of how we function as humans. And it's a part of how we've learned to relate and grow. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. What can happen, though, is it for me, it's like sometimes our rational brain runs at like 99 miles an hour, like, you know, I'm going to think about this and do this and plan this, and I'm going to multitask, and I'm going to do this. And in the next 30 seconds, I'm going to do this piece, but I'm going to do this piece too. And so we're zooming along. And the rational brain is also the place where we write those stories. So say we're feeling a sensation, and this is really helpful too. Say we're feeling a sensation of, you know, heat on our hands. And there's a point where we're like, oh, you know, we pull the hand away probably before we even think about and realize what it was. But then we start to put the story together. Oh, my hand was on a hot stove. Okay, I know what that was. And now I can, you know, go, okay, I might have a burn. Let me go put it under hot or cold water or whatever it is, that I can work with the initial reaction, which I didn't think about, pulling my hand away from that hot stove, that was done in those deeper center of the brains. But the story we write helps us make sense of it and work with it afterwards. And again, this isn't a bad thing. Yet, what happens, and what I believe to be true, is sometimes we do that too much, right? We over plan things out, or we over try to organize it in our heads and make meaning of it. And we're missing the process of slowing down and really meeting what the basic body messages are to begin with. And the rational brain has a really good skill of being able to override things once they've started to move through the process. But there luckily is no capacity for the rational brain to override those basic instincts. So thank goodness we can't think about and like not move our hand away from the stove, for example, once, you know, once the basic instinctual brain says it needs to move away. That happens automatically and we don't need to wait around for it. But the rational brain thinking process that can override, it can override things later. It can override the story later. And that's what we want to just listen and take as a point of data, but also set aside and go, what really am I noticing in my body? So as we come back to then this very exploration of this topic, we're going to continue after this next section. We're going to take a little break. And once we come back, I'm going to come back to exploring nervousness, shame, and fear. What's it like to meet these in our journey of sacred sexuality?
You are listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is Tuesday, August 16th, 2016, and you are listening to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to talk with Leslie live on the air, give us a call at 646-378-0378. That number again is 646-378-0378. Now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
We fine, my love. Thank you. Oh. So we're exploring again, meeting nervousness, shame, and fear on this journey of sacred sexuality, and how this has come through for me in another example recently. And what that example was is emails. I get emails from prospective clients, from people reaching out to share about classes they've experienced from me, or asking about classes in the future. So I get a lot of communication, and it's often what I'm finding from people who have maybe kind of what I'll call hovered. Like, you know, they've seen my work, or they've seen this path. They maybe found me for the first time, or maybe they've been following this work or work with me for a couple of years. Maybe they've been following just the nature of this path and then found that, hey, they found that I'm right in their area or whatever it is. But there's a time, there's a point where they feel a call to reach out. And often it takes some time. And I believe that has a lot to do with this meeting of nervousness. And they'll speak it, you know. In some examples, once they've even reached out the first time, that was huge and a huge step. And I totally honor and respect everyone that I communicate with really meeting them with, I acknowledge this is, it can feel really nervous to reach out to somebody to talk about a path of sexuality and maybe bring up questions or traumas or issues that they may be having that they're wanting to resolve or make changes with. Even speaking what that issue is can be a huge leap. To even bring that forth in words and say, this is why I'm reaching out, sometimes doesn't come out in the first contact, doesn't come out until we meet. Maybe that doesn't even come out until we've met several times. And then the time that feels safe and right emerges. All of that's honored. For some, it's a little more like, yep, I know exactly what it is. Here's what I want to work with. And they may feel just safer or more able to bring that question right away. It's different for each person. And for some, they may reach out, we may communicate in email, and we may go back and forth in email for a long time before they really feel ready to make an appointment. And I had a person reach out really recently with that very nature, really speaking like, I get this. I want to come work with you. I know I need it. I see and respect your work. I know that it's what would really support me. And I am nervous. I can't even reach out to commit to an appointment yet. And how do I hold that? Oh, so safely. Like, take your time. You don't have to force it. And meet it with, can you take a breath, slow down, check in with your body, and decide. Like, when it feels right, you will know. And that's the time. It's not about pushing it. It's not about forcing it. You will know when it's the right time to meet whatever experience you're wanting to meet. And as I teach and share about is this nature of spectrum, that there's a pendulum, that where we are on the pendulum can be an indicator if we learn this about ourselves. Like, we start to, so this is why self-inquiry, right? This is a path of self-illumination, of self-realization, of illuminating and feeling and seeing and lighting up. What's it like to really look inside and see ourselves? So part of what I'm offering is that very thing. So when you're noticing something in your body, can you notice where you are on the scheme of a pattern? And so what I'll call, and one of the pendulums that I describe, is the pendulum of where are we on the path of, one extreme of the pendulum is driven. Like, I'm going to bull my way into anything and everything because it's a new experience and I want to do it, and boom, 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 boom. Okay. Well, that's one end of the spectrum. What's the other end of the spectrum is more like, eh, you know, I'm more in a procrastinator energy on the other end. What I'm going to invite for each person is going to be different depending on where they are in those spectrums. So for the person who's like, you know, I have a hard time taking an action to, you know, go get my teeth brushed in the morning, then I'm going to say, let's light a fire. Like, what's it like to really go, what's important to you in your life and take some actions to do it? Whereas a person who's really like bullying their way through life and forcing things at the expense, perhaps, of feeling and sensation in their body, I'm going to say, let's slow down. Either case, we're going to slow down so we can pay attention. But with that bullying, you know, like, can we meet what's really going on here? Let's take one step at a time. And you know what happens sometimes is the person who's on that far end of the spectrum of tends to bull their way through things also is the person whose body is screaming, you're bullying your way through things and it's, I can't take it anymore. So there's this message they may not even be cognitively aware of that I'm screaming, body is screaming, like I don't feel safe and I don't feel good and you're pushing me into things too fast. And so the very fear that's coming up for them is around that nature. Their body is saying, you're not listening and you're not really holding me with what I need. So I'm just going to tense up. So for that person, I'm going to invite, let's slow down and listen, not only to what your head says, because your head might be saying, yeah, this is all good, let's go. And your body might be saying, no, we're going to listen to both. And how do I know that so deeply? Because that one was probably one of my big ones. I was very much in a place for years of bullying my way. You know, I'm good. Let's go. You know, I enjoy this too. Let's just do it, you know. And like, instead of listening to what I need, what do I need to be held? What's the container? We spend a lot of time on container in other episodes. I share about that on my work and my website. This nature of container is the safe space where I'm not going to be judged and I'm simply going to be held in possibility. No judgment, no forcing, no expectations, not trying to plan or push, simply holding the space. And part of what our bodies need, or part of what happens for ourselves, is if we can listen to what our bodies need authentically in each moment, then that space becomes clear and we can start to let the barriers or the shields that we've erected over time, because we've kind of pushed ourselves into things and the body went, I don't think I can handle that. And those barriers and the shielding and the armor, or the shields and the armor from trauma, from times when we were little and maybe we were touched without love, or something more, you know, overtly abuse or trauma related, it can be as simple as just being pushed, you know, just being bullied. And not to understate bullying is intense, but simply even verbal, even emotional non-presence from parents can take us into places of deep armoring and shielding when we aren't really being met with emotional support from our parents at a young age. And what's particularly terrorizing about that one is it's harder to see because it's not like overt. Oh, they didn't hurt me. They didn't physically hit me. You know, they just weren't there. They were physically there, but they weren't there, you know. So it's really hard for our brains, our rational brains again, to put a meaning around that, and all the more reason then it tries to override the body response that says, this really sucks. So we want to listen to the body. So back to meeting then nervousness, shame, and fear, as what I encouraged with people reaching out either to explore this work with me on my journey in private sessions and classes, or simply like reaching out to go to a party that is maybe in the kink fetish scene or in a sexually charged environment. And what happens is people write stories around what's that going to look like. Oh, it's going to be one big orgy, or, oh, it's going to be this thing and that doesn't feel good. And okay. And when that's authentic, absolutely, it's not a fit. And when you've got this place in your body that's going, but I'm really curious and I'd like to meet more, and I'd like to meet people that have a more of an open mind, that nobody's around me will talk about these things, and so nobody must ever do it. Well, guess what? There are communities, and yes, there are people that will meet you in open-minded discussion, in making conscious choices, and being empowered in our sexuality to feel good. and to be proud of who we are, even when that who we are, we perceive, won't be met by others. Yes, it's real and it's possible. And what I invite when you're feeling the call is meet the nervousness that's coming up about going to that sex party. What's coming up for you? And as it does, what does your body have to say? And then take a moment, make a commitment to your body. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to listen to you the best I can. I'm going to make choices with your input, body. I love you, body. I'm going to do my best to listen. And then do your best to listen. And what does that mean? Often, slow down. Usually what happens is we get in and we get all nervous and then we're rushing and like, okay, well, and then we're not making conscious choices because we're not plugged in. We're simply racing around with what our rational brain has to say. So slow down and take one step at a time. This is not about diving in to the bonfire head first, but instead, you know, take a step near, feel the warmth. You know, take a step over in this area and then and communicate. What are you noticing? Oh, I'm feeling a little nervous. Okay, what's nervous? Well, I'm feeling this flutter in my belly. Okay, take a breath in your belly. Ah, slow down breath in your belly. Does the flutter change? How does it change? As you relax and as you then communicate, and maybe you're met with somebody who's also really freaking nervous. Consider that. The people who are also there, maybe it's their first time too. Maybe together you can go, hey, you know, I'd really like to explore this and I'm really nervous about this, and speak it. A great protocol that I use all the time in my work, I use it in my private interactions as I'm interacting with people, friends, lovers, new people I may meet that I'm engaging in some way with, especially if I'm going to work with sexual energy at all, is really speaking. And I learned this from my teachers as I was working with International School of Temple Arts, and that there's this sense of speaking. What are your boundaries? What's that container? And we come back to container often, but what's the safe space that needs to be held? So maybe, you know, you're speaking something that like, I need this for right now. And know that can change. You can always change your mind. And then maybe speaking your fears. I'm a little nervous about this. I'm nervous that this is going to happen or this is going to happen. And speak that, you know, and be heard in it. And then speaking desires, what would you like to share? How would you like to connect? Maybe it's just simply, can we sit and talk? I'd love to sit and talk and learn a little bit more about you. And then giving the other person a chance to speak those. And as you do, there's a container you're co-creating that will start to open up where things and choices become clear. So it's not about rushing right in, this perception that, well, if I go to this thing, that I have to do this big thing. No, you don't have to. Take one step at a time. One step, feel it, then maybe take another step, and trust that each of those steps and listening and slowing down are guiding you. If you feel yourself lifting up and out, if all of a sudden you notice that you're looking at yourself as if you're not in your body, you're probably not in your body. And take a moment to slow down and plug in. So this taking one step at a time and slowing down, it's really a powerful tool, and it's one that we don't use often. We assume that it's, I don't know. I know in the past I assumed, well, if I actually slow down and ask for what I want, then somebody else is going to be mad about that, or, you know, people aren't going to like me, or, you know, different stories that I wrote. People are going to laugh at me if I actually slow down and take a breath. They'll think it's weird. Well, guess what? It's not weird to be listening to you and to who you are and to make choices. That's powerful and sexy and beautiful. And anyone that I'm engaging with, if they're not slowing down and making choices from a conscious place, that's going to make me more nervous. So I encourage and really invite this taking one step at a time. Now, noting that as you do, there may be this point where you've taken one step at a time, you know, and you're doing this really safe one-step thing, but then suddenly you find yourself at kind of an edge of a cliff, hypothetically speaking, paradoxically, or, you know, like in the visual realms, that next step, but it doesn't appear I'm going to have a place to step. Well, guess what? There's a great quote about that in sort of the spiritual realms. I don't remember exactly how it initiated, but it's the step. It's this idea that when you take that next step, you are going to be supported. You will either have a place to rest your foot or you will be given wings to fly. You know, and that trust piece of letting yourself really sink in that you're okay and your connection with your body and with spirit is part of what supports journey on this planet. So there will be times where you're going to make a little bit of a leap, and that's beautiful. And notice and be with what emerges as you do. So the nature of this meeting nervousness and fear and shame, I want to take a moment with shame. That shame is particularly terrorizing. Brené Brown's work, she describes this as well, her work with shame and vulnerability. And one of the things I remember from her work is she describes kind of the differences between embarrassment and humiliation, shame. And the key about shame, different than all the rest of those, embarrassment or whatever it may be, the key with shame is that what it tends to root in us is not just, oh, I did something bad, or, oh, there's something bad going on, but it roots in this nature of I am bad, like a value judgment on my being. And that's what shame is so particularly terrorizing. Like, I'm a bad kid. I'm a bad girl. I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad whatever, a bad human. That no, you aren't. You deserve to be here. We each have a unique, amazing gift to share on this planet, and we each deserve to be here. And that shame, when we're feeling shame, this is what makes things particularly difficult in the reaching out process. So say, coming back to one of the examples I was sharing, a person reaching out to me and saying, I really believe that you, like, your work resonates for me. I think it's something that could help me. I would love to come and share in that. And I just can't quite commit. I can't quite do it yet. I can't quite make this appointment. And then at the end of that whole thing, the thing at the bottom of the email was, and, oh my gosh, I'm such an awful person for this. Like, they used a different phrasing, but this nature that shame came through, that somehow they were, because they were noticing how hard it was for them to reach out, and because they felt like, even though they knew at their core that they wanted to come explore some new piece of work that would support them in their journey, even though they know that, they, because it's so hard for them to reach out, they felt so much shame that they are considering themselves bad. I'm a bad person. Clearly, I just suck. It's kind of the nature of the message that came through. And what I want to say is, no, you don't. That's, you know, it's this shame that comes in that says, I'm a bad person because I can't even take an action to do the thing that I want to do that will support me. Blessings. You aren't a bad person. That's the thing. That's the ticker. That's the thing that makes this so particularly difficult, is that little terrorizing shame creeps in, so that when we're nervous about something, and then we're kind of acknowledging we're nervous, but we don't really want to admit that, like, I'm nervous, or I do admit that I'm nervous, but now I can't do anything about it. So now I clearly suck because I can't even do anything about it. No, all okay. It's part of the journey. Noticing all of this is huge. Being able to notice and articulate and reach out and write about that, tremendous. And so letting ourselves acknowledge all of these layers as real and important then is what gives us the keys to unlock them, so we no longer have to be ruled by or carry the pain associated with all of this old stuff. we can start to unlock the keys of our own power that says, I can make a choice and I do want to make a change. And that's powerful. And it's one step at a time. So going slow, taking one step at a time, not biting off more than we can chew. You know, if we think like, I can't go to this sex party because, oh my gosh, the thought of being in a 10-way orgy is too much. Well, guess what? Yeah, you shouldn't have to make that leap. You don't have to make that choice by just reaching out to come explore something. You don't have to make that choice even once you're there. You, one step at a time, relate with a person, relate with an experience. But, you know, we write stories around what we think that's going to look like, and more often than not, that isn't even what's going to be there to meet anyway. And if it is, you get the choice to say, wow, this isn't working for me. I'm going to hold this space for myself instead. So one of the other things I touched on before and I want to come back to is to be present for your choices. So a part of the, you know, our very nature of our sexual center is about our self-power. So this is why it's also particularly difficult when we're talking about sex and sexuality and sexually charged events or kink and fetish or these things that we name as different or weird or edgy, is that the seat of our power and the seat of our sexuality are so connected. So when we're feeling a little rocked off center in either one of them, they relate to each other. Plugging into the body, getting into the pelvis and letting ourselves breathe and expand there, letting ourselves trust our power of choice. And that to be present for that power, especially early on in that exploration, it is super critical, in my opinion, to be present for it. I wasn't always. I had a whole path of binge drinking early in my years, and drinking and alcohol are super numbing. We tend to, you know, you hear people, oh, I just need a few drinks to loosen up. Well, guess what? Sometimes what that means is you're really checking out and you're not making conscious choices. So check in and decide how much is too much. Maybe if you can't make that choice in the middle of it, maybe it's just, let's not. And so if you're entering a situation that is particularly nervous or fearful or like edgy for you, take the moment to make a shift in your usual pattern. Maybe don't grab those drinks. Maybe don't grab those other alterants and let yourself be really present for the choices you're making. And that's, you know, that takes a lot of self-will to go, I know this is going to be tough territory for me. I'm going to shift. I'm not going to have that drink or that extra drink. I'm just going to be here now and really be with my own being. And that's tough. It can be hard to look inside and to be present with ourselves. So that nature of be here now kind of wraps it up. Slow down, be present, make choices in the moment based on what your body is saying in the moment, as well as your rational self, your brain, and check in. Make choices that are empowered with the power of like yeses and nos, that you own your choice of yes is a yes, a no is a no, maybe is a no, unless it becomes a yes, because you always reserve the right to change your mind. And letting yourself carry that with you. So with all that, I'm going to have us take another short break. We're coming right back to explore some final pieces at the end.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Leslie has a new website. It's new and improved and even mobile friendly. Check out radio podcasts, video podcasts, and more free resources at leslieblackburn.com. The website has the full event schedule, mailing list, sign up, and much more, again, at leslieblackburn.com. Also announcing live video workshops. The 2016 fall series of Sacred Sexuality classes will be by live video. This new format supports those of you across the globe to join in from the comfort of your own space. Register by September 5th for the Early Bird special discount, and you must pre-register to get instructions on how to join. See LeslieBlackburn.com for details. Leslie's Tantric Energy Touch workshop is available on CD. Have you ever wanted to attend a class but you were a little nervous about the group setting? Explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home with a partner or by yourself with this audio CD. Order online at the website. The best way to get announcements about upcoming events as well as inspirational stories, videos, and radio show archives is to subscribe to the email newsletter by clicking on the link on the website, LeslieBlackburn.com. Also, Leslie's Sacred Sexuality videocast airs monthly. You can choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be a conversation live or just sit back and take it in. See details at the website to join in. The next one is Wednesday, September 7th at 10 a.m. Eastern. Reminder that Leslie is available for speaking engagements and for private sessions. More information at the website, LeslieBlackburn.com. And now, back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, my love. And thank you all for listening in, for exploring today, whether that's today live or today in your day in the podcast, letting yourself be here now as you feel and take a breath and plug in. Slowing down. Letting yourself receive the moment, possibilities that can move through you here in this moment of yes. How can you meet your body and what it needs for your yes? That your yes is not about bullying through or forcing, it's about creating the space that feels yummy to relax and say yes. And that trusting that you have that capacity and that you can make those choices that feel good. Acknowledging when there's nervousness, acknowledging when there's fear, anxiety, shame, letting yourself feel those, meet those, and come back to the resource of your body that says, everything's going to be okay. You're a beautiful, amazing, and powerful person. Your unique path on this planet is important. You make change by being here. And yes, your journey here is an important part of our whole consciousness journey. Acknowledging that who you are is good and important, and remembering who you are is profound. Letting yourself explore that journey of self-realization of, oh, I'm allowed to be who I am, and enjoy each layer of unfurling in that. So with a breath of gratitude for being in your body, a breath, an exhale to allow any limiting thoughts or beliefs that you've carried in, especially those self-shaming ones, letting those drop away with an exhale. What's it like to say, yes, really, I don't have to carry that anymore? What old story can you let drop with your breath? What old story still feels like it's dragging you around, like you're dragging an anchor, or like you have a huge weight upon your shoulders? What old story that's that weight or that anchor can be let go today? And on an inhale, what new possibility, what facet that you choose to bring in, can you trust is true in you? Bringing in patience or courage, bringing in the courage to reach out and make that call, the courage to go to that event or to explore the particular path of healing or sacred sexual journey, What facet do you want to support yourself with that? Love, patience, courage, strength, grace. Let yourself breathe it in. Most importantly, let yourself receive it. It's hard enough to ask for it. Acknowledge when it's hard to ask for it, that you've chosen to ask for it, and now let yourself go, yeah, I'm allowed to receive it once I've asked for it. And with the breath of gratitude for yourself, for taking time for you, the deep space of knowing, the light inside, divine, deeply sees and honors the light inside each of you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us today for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to contact Leslie, please visit her website, leslieblackburn.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find out more information about this at the website. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and have a beautiful day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.